So it is a really interesting variety of presentations today. The research that I'm presenting today is actually a pretty straightforward quantitative analysis that's looking at whether there's a connection between ethnic isolation and ethnic concentration and Latina teen pregnancy. Is that better? Maybe a little bit? So again, my name is Sarah Rustin. I'm a research associate and data analyst at the Mauricio Gaston Institute for Latino Public Policy and Community Development Research at UMass Boston. It's a bit of a mouthful. And I would just right off the bat like to acknowledge my co-author, Ida Lee Torres, who is the director of the Gaston Institute, as well as Phil Granberry and Mayara Fontes, who were a big part of this project. Today's presentation is actually part of a larger project called Poraji Dicen, which is a project evaluating the effects of a local media campaign on promoting sexual health communication between Puerto Rican mothers and their children between the ages of 10 and 19. And this, in turn, is part of the Center for Health Intervention Equity Research, which is a five-year project funded through a P60 grant from the National Institutes of Minority Health and Health Disparities, and is located at UMass Medical in Worcester. And I have no relationships to disclose. Just a little bit of background on the situation on Latina teen birth in Massachusetts. Sexual health disparities such as teen birth are a persistent challenge among Latino youth. In spite of the fact that there's been a lot of additional information and education about sexual health protection and pregnancy prevention over the past couple of decades, Latinas continue to demonstrate higher teen birth rates than any other major racial or ethnic group. In 2010, the Latina teen birth rate in Massachusetts was 49 births per 1,000 teens, and in spite of the fact that it's decreased dramatically over the past decade, 44% since 2000, it is still higher than any other major racial or ethnic group. Puerto Ricans, which are the largest Latino subgroup in the Northeast, have particularly high teen birth rates. For instance, in Springfield, which is in the city of Massachusetts with the largest Latino population, 80% of the teen births in 2008 were to Puerto Rican teens. Although the Latino populations are very diverse, both culturally and in terms of behavioral health norms, the reverence of motherhood is a dominant cultural theme across subgroups. In particular, women are perceived as responsible for the longevity of the family line. Although this cultural value is not unique to the religious population, it is reinforced by the large Catholic Latino population, to whom the Virgin Mary is a central figure as the Mother of Christ. And these cultural values may help to position early pregnancy as normal and even as desirable. So, and this has been a recurring theme throughout the conference, but it is widely agreed that neighborhoods have a significant effect on behavioral health norms. What is not entirely clear, though, is why and how this effect occurs. Some research points to ethnic concentration as a factor in health outcomes. Ethnic concentration is the proportion of a geographic area that is made up of a given racial or ethnic group, in this case, Latinos. My apologies for the typo on the slide, by the way. This should be at zip code level for this particular analysis rather than census tract level. Other research into behavioral health norms indicates that cultural behavioral health norms that differ from the norms of the majority culture are more likely to persist in ethnically isolated area. An ethnically isolated area is one in which the members of a given racial or ethnic group are unlikely to come into contact with members of another racial or ethnic group with any regularity. This isolation may serve to reinforce cultural norms with both positive and negative effects. For instance, in some ethnically isolated areas, they've demonstrated lower levels of obesity rates due to traditional diets that are better than the diets of the majority culture. So our hypothesis, then, is that cultural values normalizing early pregnancy will persist in ethnically concentrated or isolated areas, resulting in higher teen birth rates in those areas. In addition, we hypothesize that there will be a stronger relationship between ethnic isolation and Latina teen birth rates than between ethnic concentration and Latina teen birth rates. We would expect that cultural isolation cultural norms are more persistent as well as stronger influences in ethnically isolated areas as compared to areas that simply have a high concentration of Latinos. This is because other measures of ethnic concentration do not take into account the surrounding areas. It may be that the zip code of interest in the analysis is the only one in the local area that is predominantly Latino, in which case we would expect the exposure to different races and ethnicities in the surrounding area to decrease the influence of the Latino cultural norms. So this particular study is focused on Massachusetts, specifically Boston, Lawrence, Worcester, and Springfield. We chose these four cities because they are the cities in Massachusetts that have the highest largest Latino populations. And Springfield, which you can see is in the Western Mass, is also the site of the Poor Ahidison Project. Our first data source is the 2010 birth certificate data from the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. We use this information to calculate zip code level teen birth rates and Latina teen birth rates. One of the key limitations of the study at this preliminary stage is that we use publicly available information, and this is a limitation because data for small numbers of teen births are suppressed, specifically if there's less than 5 teen births in any given group, such as Latina teen births, in a given geography, such as a zip code, that data is not provided. Even at the zip code level, data was suppressed in several zip codes due to low numbers of Latina teen births. Our second data source is the 2010 decennial census, which provided the population numbers with which we calculated ethnic concentration and ethnic isolation. As I mentioned previously, ethnic concentration is simply the proportion of each zip code that is Latino. Ethnic isolation is calculated as the Latino-weighted average of the Latino population proportion in each area. In addition, we've incorporated some preliminary findings from the Poor Ahidison Project, which was gathered from a survey of Puerto Rican mothers in Springfield, Massachusetts. The survey is ongoing, but at the time this presentation was developed, 170 interviews had been completed, and 155 of those interviews had been entered into our data management system. The survey is being administered in the census blocks in Springfield that have the highest proportion of Puerto Rican residents. So first, I'd like to draw your attention to the maps along the lower portion of the slide. In this preliminary analysis, I've only presented kind of the general pattern of ethnic concentration in the cities that we're looking at, but this gives you an idea of the patterns of ethnic concentration, with the darker zip codes being the ones with the higher proportion of Latino residents. One thing to note in particular is the blank areas within the cities. For instance, in the middle of Lawrence, those are the zip codes that were suppressed, where the data was suppressed, the data on teen births was suppressed due to low numbers. We conducted a simple regression analysis to examine the relationship between ethnic concentration and Latina teen birth rates, and found that there is a statistically significant positive relationship. In other words, as the levels of ethnic concentration increase, the Latina teen birth rate increases. In addition, ethnic concentration explained over 58% of the variance in teen birth rates between zip codes. So as you can see, the patterns of ethnic isolation are very similar to those of ethnic concentration in all of the cities, although the magnitude is somewhat different. The relationship between ethnic isolation and Latina teen birth rates was also significant and positive, but ethnic isolation explained only approximately 13% of the variance in teen birth rates, as compared to the 58% explained in the ethnic concentration model. So preliminary data from Poor Ahidison supports the theory that areas with an ethnically concentrated Latino population, Puerto Rican in this particular instance, will tend to demonstrate cultural health behaviors such as early pregnancy. Of the 155 interviews that had been entered at the time I developed this presentation, 104 respondents were teen mothers themselves, and approximately the same proportion were born to teen mothers. 22 of the respondents had grandchildren, and of these, 16 had at least one grandchild that was a teen birth. It's important to keep in mind, though, that this number is a little bit biased due to the population that we're looking at. I would expect that proportion to shift pretty significantly as the younger children reach their teens and the older children become adults themselves. Much of the literature linking ethnic concentration or isolation with health behaviors, particularly in the a case of cultural health behaviors, makes the assumption that this effect is the result of social networks that are primarily rooted in the local neighborhood. However, we're not finding this from our preliminary data from Springfield. We're actually finding that Puerto Rican mothers' social networks aren't integrated in the neighborhood much at all. Instead, what we're finding is that the Puerto Rican mothers in Springfield tend to have very small social networks that rely heavily on the family. In fact, nearly one-fifth of the respondents didn't list any close social connections outside of the household, and one-third of the respondents listed only family members within the five closest people in the social network outside of their household. The strong focus among on family members among Latinos is known as familismo. So, as you've seen, there's statistically significant relationships both between ethnic concentration and ethnic isolation and Latino teen birth rates. It turns out, though, that ethnic concentration is actually a better predictor of Latino teen birth rates than ethnic isolation is. And there's a couple different reasons that this may have come about. One, of course, is that the measure of ethnic isolation we're using may not be accurately portraying ethnic isolation within the neighborhoods that we're looking at. Another possibility is that social isolation is more likely to encourage persistent cultural behavior than geographic isolation. This seems to align with the preliminary data from Porahidisin, which suggests that among Latinos, the strong focus on family known as familismo may actually exacerbate the effects of ethnic concentration by further limiting exposure to extrafamilial norms. This could result in a strong relationship between ethnic concentration and Latina teen birth rate shown in our preliminary analysis. Although this is only one set of factors that may influence teen pregnancy, it does reinforce the importance of teen pregnancy prevention programs that address behavioral health norms at multiple levels, including not only individual education and programming, but also incorporating neighborhood and family-level programming. These results also have implications for targeting pregnancy prevention programming, identifying neighborhoods that are likely to benefit from particular types of interventions based on their demographic characteristics, which could in turn help to improve not only the impact, but also the efficiency of programming. So our next step is to, to obtain census tract level data in order to examine whether this relationship holds true at smaller geographic areas. This will be useful because zip codes often incorporate multiple neighborhoods which have very different characteristics and may have very different health needs. Smaller area analyses will not only provide more detailed research results, but will also help to have greater precision in targeting interventions. In addition, we plan to incorporate additional neighborhood characteristics to see whether these characteristics decrease the effects of ethnic concentration and isolation, particularly percent high school graduate diploma or less and percent poverty within the geographic area. And finally, of course, we look forward to analyzing the final data from Porahidisin. Once the initial survey has been completed, we're hoping to have 200 interviews completed by the end of November. These are the primary references that I used in developing this presentation. And, of course, if you're interested in the Gaston Institute, there's a wide variety of ways to get more information on the work that we do. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, so you're just looking at the relationship between isolation or concentration and your dependent
yes.
variable. You didn't control for individual level factors like education, poverty,
yeah. proficiency. That's a really challenging one. We're hoping to, as I said, incorporate some more measures in the next round of analysis, but there's a pretty limited amount of information that you can get from birth certificate data. So we can get things such as, well, one challenge is even how to identify as Latino, because people don't always self-identify as Latino. So we have a couple different ways we can do that based on birth certificate data. But other than that, you know, you're limited to things like where they were born, whether it was in the mainland U.S. or Puerto Rico or another country, age. They don't have education measures or poverty or anything like that. Yes?
Yeah, just because we see family useful as such a cultural asset, I'm wondering, is there any looking at experience of discrimination and how that leads to ethnic concentration? Because I think when folks are immigrating, they go to folks they're most comfortable with. So mm-hmm. I think there are other factors besides. I mean, I would hate to interpret the data when Latinos are concentrated, they're getting pregnant, right?
Right.
But because I think, at least from a Los Angeles standpoint and from a D.C. standpoint, folks concentrate because they're most comfortable because of all the structural environmental obstacles and barriers, mm-hmm. including discrimination, that exist in a larger place in life. So if you really want to have a place to call home, you better be with your folks.
Mm-hmm.
And not just your family, but your handmaids.
And it really is difficult to try to kind of disentangle all of the different things involved in here. As we're looking at the Porahidisan data a little bit more, we do have some measures of things like discrimination and other more contextual factors that we'll try to incorporate into the analysis as much as possible. It's interesting when you're looking at the Puerto Rican population, too, because the teen birth rate actually tends to increase a couple of generations after moving to the United States. So the it's not necessarily always specifically related to the immigration experience.
Right. Well, we just find with federalism, grades are higher,
mm-hmm.
Spanish-speaking cultural pride is higher, health indices are higher, everything is higher if we can keep those cultural values intact.
Well, and
so
there's...
We have an asset-based model that looks at all those really different cultural
indices. And as I mentioned before, too, there's a lot of ways that the ethnic concentration or ethnic isolation can provide really beneficial support for positive health outcomes, like with diet and things like that. So, you know, this we're by no means trying to say that this is a negative. It's just one aspect of cultural norms that needs to be kind of taken into consideration when developing programming and even when targeting programming. Yes.
I had a question about utilizing ethnic isolation for identifying years of programming.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any benefits for using that as a measure as opposed to just looking at birth rates and circumventing subscriber by zip code and then looking at other demographic characteristics you can get from maybe like that?
So I think one of the advantages with using a measure like this is that it's publicly available and the data is fairly easy to obtain because you can really essentially just go to a website and download it and then you can look at it in whatever way you want. Birth rate data is generally not available at small areas, so this would really allow you to look at, you know, within a city what neighborhoods are the ones that are likely to be at high at risk based on some characteristics.
Yeah, and the limitation with birth rate is how long it takes to get out.
I'm sorry?
It takes a while for, I know like Massachusetts is like data. At more local level, and so for the other data that you're born from, is that up to date more regularly, or?
It is, although, you know, there's still a bit of a lag. You're looking at maybe a year and a half before it's available at that level, compared to, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Can we just have one more question, and then move on and hold your question or comment till the end?
Okay.
So that we can have the last speaker.
Of course.
Have you considered including Holia in your next broader research? Because it did have the highest teen birth rate and have the largest Puerto Rican population. Almost 50% of the residents of Holia are Latino.
It's actually really interesting that you ask that. We did the first way, the first. Porahidisan was first deployed in Springfield, and since then we've been able to partner with Dr. Aline Gubrium at Amherst, UMass Boston, or UMass Amherst, and we're actually doing a second set of surveys in Holyoke. I would be happy to, yes. Thank you.